वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते 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 वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवतम् First Canto, Chapter 1, Text 5.
Ta,
ta,
ekada,
ekada,
tu,
tu,
munayaha,
munayaha,
pratar,
pratar,
uta,
uta,
utagnayaha,
utagnayaha,
satkritam,
satkritam,
sutam,
sutam,
asinam,
asinam,
paprachur,
paprachur,
idam,
idam,
adara,
adara,
Taekadatu munaya,
Taekadatu munaya,
Pratarhuta hutagnaya,
Pratarhuta hutagnaya,
Satkritam sutamasinam,
Satkritam sutamasinam,
Paprachur idam adara,
Paprachur idam adara,
Ekadatu munaya,
Ekadatu munaya,
Pratarhuta hutagnaya,
Pratarhuta hutagnaya,
Satkritam sutamasinam,
Satkritam sutamasinam,
Paprachur idam adara,
Paprachur idam adara,
Ta ekadatu munaya,
Pratarhutam
hutagnaya,
Satkritam sutam asinam,
Paprachur idam adarat,
Taekadatu
munaya,
Pratarhuta hutagnaya,
Pratarhuta hutagnaya,
Satkritam
sutam asinam,
Paprachur
idam adarat, Taekadatu munaya,
Pratarhuta hutagnaya,
Satkritam sutam asinam, Paprachur idam adarat, Taekadatu munaya, Pratarhuta hutagnaya, Satkritam sutam asinam, Paprachur idam adarat, Te
The
sages.
The sages.
Ekada.
Ekada.
One day.
One day.
Two. But. Munayaha.
Munayaha.
Sages.
Sages.
Prataha.
Prataha.
Morning.
Morning.
Huta.
Huta.
Burning.
Burning.
Huta agnayaha.
Huta agnayaha.
The sacrificial fire.
Sacrificial fire.
Satkritam.
Satkritam.
Due respects.
Respect.
Sutam.
Sutam.
Sri Suta Goswami.
Sri Suta Goswami.
Asinam.
Asinam.
Seated on.
Seated on.
Paprachuhu.
Paprachuhu.
Made inquiries.
Made
Idam.
Idam.
On this.
On this.
As follows.
As follows.
Adarat.
Adarat.
With due regards.
With due regards.
One day, after finishing their morning duties by burning a sacrificial fire and offering a seat of esteem to Sri Lasuta Goswami, the great sages made inquiries with great respect about the following matters. Purport. Morning is the best time to hold spiritual services. The great sages offered the speaker of the Bhagavatam an elevated seat of respect called the Vyasasana, or the seat of Sri Vyasadeva. Sri Vyasadeva is the original spiritual preceptor for all men, and all other preceptors are considered to be his representatives. A representative is one who can exactly present the viewpoint of Sri Vyasadeva. Sri Vyasadeva impregnated the message of Bhagavatam onto Srila Sukadeva Goswami, and Sri Sutta Goswami first heard it from him, Sri Sukadeva Goswami. All bona fide representatives of Sri Vyasadeva in the chain of disciplic succession are to be understood to be Goswamis. These Goswamis restrain all their senses, and they stick to the path made by the previous acharyas. The Goswamis do not deliver lectures on the Bhagavatam capriciously. Rather, they execute their services most carefully, following their predecessors, who delivered the spiritual message unbroken to them. Those who listen to the Bhagavatam may put questions to the speaker in order to elicit the clear meaning, but this should not be done in a challenging spirit. One must submit questions with a great regard for the speaker and the subject matter. This is also the way recommended in Bhagavad Gita. One must learn the transcendental subject by submissive oral reception from the right sources. Therefore, these sages addressed the speaker, Sutta Goswami, with great respect. Om Ajnanatiniran Tasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamischa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dadita Sri Vishakam Vitam Stra Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Bansha Kulpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashali Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Taekadatu Muniya Praturuta Utagneha Satkritam Sutamasinam Praprachurida Madharat. Now the story is beginning, the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. The framework, the background is being set. Ekada, once upon a time, the munis were performing their morning duties. Srila Prabhupada makes that point, that the morning time is meant for spiritual activities. It's the most suitable time for, of course, all the time is meant for spiritual activities, but the morning is especially conducive for spiritual services. Prater, huta hutagnaya. So they were performing sacrifices. That was their daily duty. Huta hutagnaya. Satkritam sutamasina. And they offered great respect to Sutta Goswami. They were all sages, munya, so they were not insignificant men. They were not wood carriers or toilet cleaners. They were sages, munis. And nonetheless, they offered respect to Suta Goswami. Or because they were munis, a muni is supposed to be a thoughtful, learned person. But because they were munis, they offered their respects to Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami's qualifications will be explained in coming verses, but the sages were keen to hear from him. They wished to appoint him the speaker in the assembly, and so they first offered him respects, satkritam. Satkritam. The whole Vedic culture is the culture of respect. In the Bhagavad Gita also it said, Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujana. The austerity in the mode of goodness involves offering respects to Deva, the Lord or the demigods, Dvija, the twice born, and Guru, the spiritual master, and Pragya. Pragya means the respectable persons, mother, father, other seniors. So they are all offered respect. The Vedic culture is very hierarchical. Someone becomes respectable by virtue of his age or his relationship or his wisdom, or his post. The old men were offered respect because they were elders. That we were discussing the other day, that Uddhava deferred to Vidura, to Maitreya, because Maitreya was older. So it was understood that simply by being older, one is entitled to respect. This is culture, actually, practically, in any civilized society. The elderly persons are to be offered respects. Not only elderly, senior persons. They don't have to be elderly. They just have to be older. They're offered respects. The Pandavas deferred to their older brother, Yudhisthira Maharaj, because he was older, and of course because he was the king. So, the older persons, Yudhisthira Maharaj was offering respects every day to Gandhari and Dhritarashtra, because they were older. By dint of relationship, also, the two go together, just like older brother. The older brother is offered respects. Krishna used to offer respects to his elder brother, Balaram. Of course, Lakshman was deferring to Ram because Ram was the older brother. By post also, when Nawabhushan Shah entered the assembly where Sanatana Goswami was studying with the Brahmins all stood up to offer him respect. He was a mlecha, a meat eater, but he was the king. So the king is also supposed to be the representative of God. So the Brahmins all offered him respects. Or a person who has knowledge. There's some proverb that one becomes old by knowledge. Just like Prahlad Maharaj. Although he was only 5 years old, he was old in wisdom. So he was offered respect. Even Indra was advised to circumambulate Prahlad's mother while the child was still in the womb, because he was a great devotee. Wise, ultimately, wisdom means to be a devotee. So by wisdom, by post, by years, by relationship, there are various ways that person becomes entitled to particular respect. Otherwise, Amanina Mahanadeva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one should be willing to give respect even to an ant. One should give all respects to others. Well, this is actual culture, to give respect to others, and especially those who have some particular distinction. They should be offered respect. But otherwise, everyone. So the Sutta Goswami was the senior most member of the assembly, very learned and very qualified. And apart from that, the sages wanted to hear from him. And that means they practically, they wanted to place him in the position of guru or place him in the position of the speaker. So the respect is offered to the person and to the knowledge, to the book, to the subject matter. Even some lowly messenger, if he comes with a message from the king, then he'll be received with respect. That's standard in diplomatic affairs. Any ambassador or emissary sent by the head of state is treated with great respect. When Uluk, the son of Shakuni, was sent to the court of the Pandavas with actually a nasty message, insulting message.
What's his name?
Uluk. Uluk. Uluk means owl. He was Shakuni means vulture. His son was Uluk. Uluk means owl. So he was sent to the court of the Pandavas. The Pandavas had sent some message to, before the Kurukshetra War, to Dhritarashtra, proposing again that things could still be settled peacefully. And by the instigation of Duryodhana, Uluk was sent back with a very insulting message. But he was received with great respect because he was the messenger from the king. He was the messenger from the king. Who was that? Uddhava was sent to Vrindavan. Krishna sent him to Vrindavan with a message. So the inhabitants of Vrindavan all received him with great respect, in part because they were eager to hear the message given from Krishna. The gopis, they were sent a message via Uddhava, so they very respectfully wanted to hear from Uddhava because he sent a message from Krishna. Even Radharani, who was in ecstasy, sort of madness, and was talking to a bumblebee. First she insulted the bumblebee. You're the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. You're simply trying to flatter me and touch my feet by flying in my toes. But you're just a nonsense rascal. Don't touch me. You're the same nature as Krishna. You're
fickle, you come and go. So you're a nonsense. So she was insulting the bee in various ways, insulting Krishna. And then the bee flew away, and she thought, oh, now the bee has gone to report all the things I've said to Krishna. So then when the bee came back, Radharani was very respectful. My dear bee, I welcome you. You've come as a representative of Krishna. I hope he's not offended by the harsh things that I've said. So she gave the bee great respect. You've come as a representative of Krishna. So the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam is supposed to be the representative of Krishna, or the representative of Krishna's incarnation, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. So the speaker is treated with respect. Even Prabhupada quoted, love me, love my dog. That the dog of the master will be treated very nicely. So we respect Krishna by respecting Krishna's representative, or the person who's speaking on behalf of Krishna. In one sense, the respect is offered to the post. We salute a general because he's a general. So we have to offer him respect by his post. Or the president, he's offered respect, Mr. President, or the Queen, Your Majesty. They're offered respect. So the representative of Krishna should be offered the greatest respect because he's representing the greatest person. So sankirtan. Or from another point of view, everyone is representing Krishna because everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. So then every living being should be treated with respect. It's mentioned several times in Bhagavad Gita that a Krishna conscious person is friendly to everyone, respectful to everyone. That's one of the 26 qualities of a devotee, I think, respectful. So satkritam, they were very respectful. And asinam, this is one of the tokens of respect, to offer a seat. It has some symbolic, first of all, it's meant to give a little comfort, but more importantly, it symbolizes respect, just as the throne. The king can sit on any chair, but the throne symbolizes the position of sovereignty. The king is seated on the royal throne. No one can sit there unless he has royal supremacy. Unless he's the chief person of the state, he can't sit there. Sometimes if a family, the father has his chair and no one else can sit on the father's chair. It's reserved for him because of his position as head of the family. So similarly, this seat is reserved for the speaker, or the seat is offered to the speaker who's been selected to speak the message of Sri Vyasadeva. So it's offered to him with personal respect and also with respect for his position, that he's going to be speaking on behalf of Vyasadeva and he's going to be speaking on behalf of, speaking the subject matter of Bhagavatam. So in relation to the Bhagavatam and in relation to Krishna, the speaker is respected. Just as in relation to Krishna, we respect the altar. It's not that only Krishna is respected, but the altar is respected. That no one should sit on the altar, or you can't just throw things on the altar. The altar is treated very respectfully. In the church also, or in the Jewish temple, or any sect, if there's an altar, then it's treated with respect. Why? It's just, if platform, but because the deity is there, or because the Torah is there, or because the Guru Granth Sahib is there, or because whatever else may be there is on the altar. So the altar itself is also treated with respect. Not just that the deity or the book is respected, but the altar is also respected, or even the room where the altar is placed is respected, because it's in relation to the Lord, or the message of the Lord. So Satkritam, Sutam, Asinam. The whole Vedic culture is the culture of offering respect to superiors or to everyone. Satkritam, not Asatkritam. The disrobing of Draupadi was described as uncivilized. Asatsapa, the assembly of uncivilized men, because she was a respectable woman, and they treated her just as if she were a common prostitute. So, asatkritam, in that way they ruined their lives, the Kauravas. But satkritam, offering respect, by offering respect to others, one improves one's own position, not by insulting others or trying to establish one's own supremacy, but by respecting others, one becomes himself more respectable. Paprachchu. So they were inquisitive. Paprachchur. That's, as we'll find, they had relevant inquiries. They were sages. So they wanted to inquire from Sutta Goswami. Even when we would want to inquire from anyone, we try to be a little respectful. Excuse me, sir, could you tell me how to get to such and such? Naturally, we don't order, hey, where's this? Guy will say, get lost. You're obviously an uncivilized person. I'm not your slave, but I have to do whatever you want. So we'll approach any stranger. Excuse me, sir, could you tell me where such and such is? Respectfully, because we expect that this person has something that we want to know, and we want to solicit his favorable response. So we offer respect. Sir, could you tell me? And similarly, this is the way to approach any person of knowledge with respect. Tadvitti pranipatena pranipashnena sevaya. One is advised, as Krishna advises, that one approach a tatpadarshi, a person who has knowledge, with submission and surrender and service, sevaya. And in that context, ask one's relevant questions. So the sages, even before the subject matter gets started, we learn about the process of knowledge transmission by seeing how they approached the speaker, Sri Sukadeva Goswami. Okay, some questions? Comments?
First question. Let's see, when you're asking questions, it shouldn't be done in a challenging spirit.
Mm.
Okay. You know that, but there's also another type of question, and I don't know how you would describe it, but it's kind of like, it seems like people ask it just to ask a question, or just, it doesn't really, they're not asking it for their own benefit that they need to know, just to,
irrelevant questions.
Yeah, I guess irrelevant questions.
Yeah, that's not so much appreciated. Many times probably refer to relevant questions. What is that?
It's called samprashna. Perfect questions. Yatkrita.
Punya
sadha prishtoha. Bhavadbir lokamangala. Yatkrita krishna samprashna. Ina vasubhya. The exchange will be set by the question. Prabhupada asks. Titled that book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. So when the questions are good, you're setting the stage for good answers. When your questions are nonsense, then, or your questions are irrelevant, or, you know, why do you wear that stuff, and there's so many standard irrelevant questions, or superficial questions. Well, superficial questions, you may not get very deep answers. So, and what to speak of absurd questions. So, absurd questions, irrelevant questions, superficial questions. You get back, you get back what you put in, when the garbage in, garbage out. Sometimes, of course, even if you ask a stupid question, the learned speaker will give good answers for your welfare. I saw that with Prabhupada, people would ask, nonsense questions, probably more or less ignore the question and give the answer you want them to give. But you're not really setting things up very well by asking useless questions. Why do people ask dumb questions, irrelevant questions? Well, sometimes because they're dull. They themselves are dull and they can't think of anything better to ask. Sometimes they think that they're supposed to ask something, so they ask something without having much going on in their brains. Sometimes it simply reflects what they're preoccupied with. Could you tell me what kind of medicine would be helpful for, if they're looking for how they could live longer or feel better, and they don't realize that they could get something much more valuable, so they're just asked about, what's genuinely on their mind. Life, health, or Krishna outcome, they could be asking about highest perfection of life, and they're asking something like, my girlfriend left me, and I'm all broken up, and I don't know what to do about it. So sometimes the questions are not very high level because the person's thinking is low level. Lack of training also, the person who's trained knows what kind of questions to ask of what kind of speaker. He's trained that when you go to the church, then you should ask the priest to tell you about Jesus or whatever it is. He's trained that this is your opportunity to ask something. So the child is trained that when you meet a saintly person, then you can think that's your opportunity to inquire about something, like for your spiritual welfare. So when he's trained, he knows what to ask. And if he's not trained, he doesn't know what to ask. Well, what do I do? Just like in social affairs, if a child is trained, then he knows that when you meet such and such kind of person, then you should do this, sort of say hello,
how are you, or whatever. And if he's not trained, he's kind of like, what do I do? So being trained, a person coming from a cultured background, just like that probably cites that exchange that I think Vasishtha Muni came to the court of Dasaratha Maharaj, and the Muni inquired from the king whether the kingdom was going well and whether this law and order was going on nicely, and the various things that are relevant to the service of the king. And the king also inquired from the sage, are you achieving, is your business successful of getting free from the clutches of birth and death? Dasharatha Maharaj was inquiring from Vasishtha Muni. You know, like there's an appropriate question. Like if you meet a businessman, you say, how's your business going? So you meet a sage, you don't say, well, how's business? But you ask about his business, the business of conquering the senses, of conquering birth and death. You meet a king, you ask about the welfare of the state. So different questions are appropriate for different kinds of people. And one who's been trained, one who's cultured, knows that when I meet this kind of person, this is the right kind of question to ask.
Yeah, with this Dasarath, it seems to me, if somebody like asks you how you're doing in controlling your senses, and it seems like, you know, it's
not an insult.
It
was said in such a way as everything going on nicely with your duties, with your program. Just like a very common question among Vaishnavas, how's your puja? That's a very common question. Is your bhajan going on nicely? Very common question. Because that's what matters to a Vaishnava, is his devotional life. He may be doing other things, but the most important thing is his bhajan. So very often, bhajan going on nicely. But that was essentially the question that he was putting to Vasishtha Muni. Your bhajan, your work of getting free from material existence, is that going on all right? That was the idea.
Okay, what if it's not going on all right? What would Dasarath say? Well, this is what you should do. He can't advise you.
Well, he'd say something, you know, maybe the sage will say, well, you know, the tigers are creating quite a disturbance in the forest. In fact, that's why he'd come. There were demons creating distress in the forest, so Vasishtha had come, I want your son.
Right.
We have some work to do. So then the king said, all right.
Can I address this point? In ninth canto, I read also interesting thing to this topic, because there are Yogendras, and Maharaj Nimi is approaching Yogendras. And I guess the Prabhupada is explaining something that actually it was not proper for him to ask them how they are doing in their self-realization. Like a little different.
It's the same question.
Different view, yeah? Different view. So I was thinking it's interesting.
Yeah, so Prabhupada took your point that actually it's, you know, who are we to ask how they're doing?
I guess it's the person asking and.
It's also a question of how it's done. There are ways of asking questions that are cultured.
I mean, how would you think about asking Srila Prabhupada that question?
Yeah, right, exactly. But you might ask a question like, so how is your work of preaching going on? You know, if you were a life member, so how is your work of preaching going on? Because that's
that
would be an appropriate question.
not something like how much advanced are you actually?
Right. Yeah, not how advanced are you? It's an insulting question. Like one of our, we went to some radio program one time, Sudama Maharaj and a few devotees, and it was one of those programs. You know, came late at night to this radio station in Manhattan, and sat down, and host greeted us. So his first question on the air to Sudama Maharaj was, "Your Holiness, now exactly what is it that makes you so holy?" He followed it up with a few more challenging questions, and we walked out on him.
Really, just walked out?
Yeah, actually, we, and the advice of Dosan Krishnaprabhu, we just, after like 20 minutes or so, we just walked out of his studio, and he was left, you know, with like an hour and a half of time to fill. His guests had walked out on him.
That was good.
Yeah, yeah.
I probably wouldn't have done that, but I could see that would be the best thing.
Yeah, it was a good move. We got good advice. So, you know, that's the kind of response you deserve for that kind of a question. You know, a guest is always to be treated with respect. That's another respectable person. Anyone who's Atithi Devopam, any uninvited guest who comes, is treated as representative of God. That's the Vedic injunction. Or even an enemy. He comes to your home, he's treated with respect. So, how the Vedic, that's practically, culture means respect. You can judge a culture by, even in the Vedic culture, there are respectable terms for addressing the members of all four orders of life. So, like pundit, for Brahma, and what else, like Maharaj for a king, and are there other respectful names for a king? Saint-ji for a Vaishya is sometimes see that title used, Saint-ji, or sometimes it's given as a given name, Saint. So that's a respectful name for a Vaishya. Or Mahajan, even the Shudras, there's a respectful term to call them. So the offering of respect is there as culture. The women are to be respected. Yatra Naryastu Pujante Ramanti Tatra Devata. It said that where women are worshipped, pujante, there the demigods enjoy. I mean, women are to be respected. Cows are to be respected. Brahmins are to be respected. Old men are to be respected. That's culture.
Is there any place that you know of like that gives who do you offer respect to first, second, if you had several different people there, you know, the proper etiquette, I guess.
Is there a book or something like that?
Yeah.
Amy Vanderbilt, or what is it, Emily Post? England, there's a book called Devrat's Correct Form, which is the authority on, you know, the prop, exactly that sort of question. When there are people of different rank, then who do you greet first? Who do you greet second? Who's seated where? What do you call the wife of a such and such? What do you call this person or that person? How do you address the queen? How do you address a duke, how do you, you know, all of these kind of questions are addressed in this book called Devrat's Correct Form, Book of Manners, Etiquette. It used to be you know, kind of one of the things that you, that any educated person would be expected to learn would be, you know, manners. There'd be, you know, regular classes, manners, etiquette. I don't know whether those things are still regarded as worthy of attention, but where there's actual culture, these things are given attention. They're not just left to the side. You know, now even, well, things that used to be considered just out of it, like Prabhupada mentioned that smoking in front of a superior was, you know, they now even young men smoke in the presence of their seniors. You know, Prabhupada mentions it, I think, in Ishapanishad. But, you know, now it's like, huh? What? you know, kids go to school and smoke while they, you know, attend the lecture and smoke. But it was, you know, it's insulting. So, it, you know, they would show respect to the deference to the superior. That was good manners. And so many things. What constitutes proper? Even a cultured person is respectful to the servants. I'll give you an example that they had this opening ceremony for Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And a lot of big men, big industrialists, had donated to construct, for the construction. And so there was a ceremony held. Opening ceremonies, and all big men were invited, and there were the usual things, some speeches and then some thanks to various people and then prasadam. And so the program was held, and while the prasadam was distributed, one of the big donors asked, would it be possible to get something for my driver? So the program had been arranged by Krishna Chandra Prabhu. He was the lead person for the project. So he told him the drivers have all been fed. While the speaking was going on, because all the big, in India everybody has a driver, no one drives. So while the speaking was going on, all the drivers had been fed. And the same food that the other guests received.
Even before the other guests ate.
Even before the other guests. Because the drivers, you know, once the program is over, the drivers have to get in the car and drive. So while the speaking was going on, the drivers were all taken care of. So such, you know, high consideration that not only do we respect the donors, but we show respect to their drivers also. That we're that we're thoughtful even of the welfare of the driver, what to speak of the man himself. So that reflects a high standard of culture. A cultured person, even to servants, to ordinary people, is respectful. There's a story that Nancy Astor, the great New York heiress, was confronted by a thief, and he was going to, you know, rob her. So she said to him, "I don't think we've been properly introduced. I'm Nancy Astor." He blew away. Anyway, a cultured person is respectful to everyone.
I mean, the example you get is really nice because it wasn't just doing it to show off to the industrialists that we're, you know, making them let them know that we're doing it. They just did it, and then only because he inquired, he had to tell them. It's not like we we're doing this to show, look, we're doing this for you.
No.
We're just doing it because it's the right thing to do.
The right thing to do.
Point also, the interesting part of Krishna book, where Krishna is coming back to Vrindavan and there are different kinds of devotees.
Vrindavan or Dwarka? Dwarka.
Maybe Dwarka.
Yeah.
And he's behaving different ways.
Right.
Yeah, Krishna offered respect, someone by nodding his head, someone by embracing him, when he met the Pandavas also. Then the Pandavas, he offered obeisances to Yudhisthira Maharaj because he was the king. And he embraced Bhima and Arjuna because they were on the same level. And he accepted obeisances from Nakula and Sahadev because they were younger. All of these things, there's in Indian culture, when you meet somebody, there's always some questions that are asked. And the purpose of the question is to kind of find out who you are. So that we know how we stand in relation to you, and therefore should we be, are we your juniors? Are we your seniors? Are you? There's a sense of where we.
How old are you?
Where we are. Yeah, they're not even that it has to be asked, but a lot of things you can see right away, and so people, they process this, and it's important information. Who am I in relationship to these other people? Not just like. I am who I am, but who am I in relationship? Where do I stand? How do I? What's the proper way for me to act in relationship to these other people?
Actually, when Srila Prabhupada said that, you offer respects to devotees. He said, for certain devotees, you offer respects in our mind.
Yeah, Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita. Krishnasya, what is that?
Krishna
Kiritam Manasadriya Tadikshasti Pranitibhista Bhajantamisha Shushushaya Bhajana Vigyam Ananyamanya Indari Shunya Ridamipsita Sangamadva. Anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna, we should offer respect to within our mind at least. Krishnasya. What is that verse? Krishneti yasya giritam.
Yeah.
Krishneti yasya giritam manasadri. Anyone on whose tongue the name of Krishna is being vibrated to him, we should offer respect, at least in the mind. And tikshasti chet pranitipista pajantamisha. And anyone who's engaged in the service of the Lord and has been initiated into the Sampradaya, to him we should offer respectful obeisances. And Shushushaya Vajavadigna Ananyamanya Nindali Shunya Hridam Ipsita Sangalam Va. And if there's a devotee whose heart is free from the tendency to criticize others and other such contaminations, Bhajana Vigya, who's expert in devotional service, then we should very respectfully hear from him and serve him. Shushushaya Bhajana Vigya Ananya Manya Nindali Shunya Vidya Sita Sangalanta. There are gradations. Everyone is respected, but respected in different ways. Not that we respect the Shudra by putting him on the king's throne. But there's an appropriate way to respect him. Something else?
Yes?
Well, you could go. I have
a few. I will have to.
This may not be such a good question, but anyway, you mentioned about the Munis are all offering to Sudha Goswami respects and putting him, but Prabhupada gives a definition, some opinion, that no two munis have the same
opinion. Well, they may have the same opinion in some matters. They all these munis had different ideas, but they all had the same idea that Sutta Goswami is the right person to be the speaker. It's not that they have to disagree about everything. Uluk, yeah.
Is the son of Sukuni.
Mm.
And also Vrikasura, he's the son of Sukuni, isn't he?
Vrikasura, is he? Could be.
Yes, I'm just wondering, Vrikasura and the brothers.
Vrikasura, huh?
Vrikasura, the one who
got
benediction from Shiva. Because in there,
it wasn't in my mind that he was, but
he says to him, When Krishna appears as a brahmachari with a brahmachari
mm-hmm.
stick,
mm.
which I don't know what a brahmachari stick is, he said, "My dear son of Sukuni," and he said, "How he knows my father? He must, you know." And he used that. So I don't know who this Sukuni is, but apparently he doesn't have very good progeny.
Well, Shakuni, if it's the Shakuni that the father of Uluk, if it's the same person, was the brother of Gandhari and advisor to Dhritarashtra, and he was the one who was always giving evil advice, taking the side of Duryodhana.
Giving evil advice to
Dhritarashtra.
His wife's brother is like his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh wow! So yeah, what a wonderful sister.
Yeah, his sister was the ideal lady, and he was. He's the one who rigged the dice game to rob the Pandavas of their kingdom.
Who was playing the dice?
Yeah, he was the one with the dice. The whole thing was his idea.
This is because you just mentioned about Draupadi in this role. It's like, other than to have this whole pastime, you know, happen with Krishna and so many things after that, it seems really difficult to understand how these people who follow they follow everything strictly, even if they're demons, if they're kshatriyas, they kind of follow.
Yeah, it's like unlimitedly outrageous.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like, why would they do that?
Yeah, because they were tanka demons. It's still shocking. You know, how could they do that? Draupadi was like the king's daughter because the Pandavas were like his sons. So the whole thing was and the daughter of Drupada was another king. So the whole thing was so barbaric. Totally barbaric.
Bhishma, he was there too.
Yeah, Bhishma was there. Dronacharya was there.
They just let it happen.
They let it happen.
Hard to understand how that. I mean, other than because it had to happen.
Yeah, that's the only reason it happened is because it had to happen. But because they were so vile, Duryodhana, by his, what said that if there's a fire in a tree, the whole forest burns down. If in the whole of one tree there's a fire, the whole forest can burn down. So if there's one bad son who
and spoil and ruin the whole family. Or if there's one good tree, the whole forest becomes fragrant. Or by the presence of one good son, like Prahlad Maharaj, the whole dynasty becomes glorified.
Maybe you can help me to localize the place in the book, but I just opened day ago Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, and there is explain the proper way how to ask question. Yeah? And Srila Prabhupada is explaining that first you offer obeisances, then you define object of your inquiry, and then you invoke benedictions, something like that.
That's what's in Mangal Charan.
Yeah, Mangal Charan, yeah.
Mangal Charan's not specifically for asking questions.
Ah, this is Mangal Charan. Okay, I mixed it, sorry.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada Hare Ki.
In CC is this Mangal Charan? I don't
first
remember.
Chapter.
First chapter. Okay.